Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening. And joining me to co-host today is Dr. Ray Pritchard from Kansas City, KS. How you doing, Ray?
Hey, you know, the sun is shining, Tim. Mm-hmm. Blue skies. It feels like the winter is just about over here in Kansas City. So, yeah, we're all smiling up here.
Coming my way. Isn't that a song? Blue skies coming my way.
Yeah, that's right. Something like that.
So the Kansas City Royals will be starting, what, a couple weeks?
That's right. That's right. You know, this is the year.
Or last.
Last year was not the year, but this year is the year, right?
Yeah. That's the great thing about sports is there's always next year.
It doesn't matter how terrible we were. This is the year, right?
You got to have optimism if you haven't lost a game yet.
That's Everybody's my, undefeated in spring training.
That's right. That's right. So, but Fred Jackson with me. Good morning, Fred.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the Royals play with mittens on as the opening games. That's always fun.
Well, you know, for the teams up north, you know, like Ray, Ray spent many years in Chicago, so we mentioned it before. The ivy on Wrigley Field walls doesn't start growing until like May, right, Ray?
That's right. It's all brown for the first few weeks. Then it starts, and then it seems like in about 2 weeks it goes from brown to beautiful green.
But when you do see professional baseball getting ready to start, even if you don't care about it, it does signal – hey, it's about time for spring.
That's right.
To be in the good old U.S. of A.
Amen.
Well, it's just us three here, folks, today. And if Walker were here, he's caring for twins.
Yeah, he's home recuperating from the birth.
Yeah. He and Lexi, they had twins a few days ago. And the 21-month-old. So they got their hands full. So he told me he would be in 2021.
That's right. He needs some maternity leave.
Yeah, so he'll be back in a couple of years. No, he'll be back sometime soon, but right now he's got more important things to do than this here show, as Ed calls it. But if you want to watch Today's Issues, that is this program, follow us on YouTube or Facebook. You can do either one of those and live video stream the show if you'd like to. We also talk about the we post the stories that we talk about and other things. So check us out on Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues, and you should be able to get the live stream. And check that out. Also, if you want to download the podcast, you can go to AFR.net. We podcast almost all our shows here on AFR, so you can listen to them at your convenience. And thousands of people. I was shocked the other day when I learned how many people, Fred, are podcasting programs here on American Family Radio.
Yeah.
And if you'd like to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. Okay, Fred, said you wanted to start with
I want to start with some good news.
Good news.
You have said over and over again that elections have consequences.
Right.
Remember the election campaign in 2016, President Trump, I think in my history of listening to presidential candidates, be it the Republican or Democrat, President Trump took the strongest stand I've ever seen a presidential candidate take when it comes to the pro-life issue.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It wasn't just an election promise. He has worked away at it. And this morning, another chapter was written in that. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, just a few minutes ago, announced that he was expanding the Trump administration's ban on U.S. aid to groups that promote or provide abortions to include organizations that comply with the rules, but they give money. That's taxpayer money that they've been given, but they give that money to others that don't. And Pompeo also said the U.S. would cut some assistance to, example, the Organization of America States, for allegedly lobbying for abortion availability in the Western Hemisphere. So what he's talking about, he says the United States is going to refuse to provide assistance to foreign NGOs, non-governmental agencies, that give financial support to other foreign groups in the global abortion industry. He says, we will enforce a strict prohibition on backdoor funding schemes and end runs around our policy. American taxpayer dollars will not be used to underwrite abortions, end quote. What strong statements, without apology. Taxpayers' dollars are not going to go directly to those who provide abortions. Now, people may say, wait a minute, Planned Parenthood's still getting $500 million a year. Well, they've been able to do an end run with the help of the Democrats and the budgets that go out every year. They get included in that. But as far as much as possible, the Trump administration, when it comes to dollars, in this case, dollars going to organizations that may be funding directly or indirectly abortions around the world, that is coming to an end, according to the Secretary of State this morning.
Right.
This is a huge step forward. I was thinking, Fred, while you were talking, the old saying, crawl, walk, run, right? Mm. Because the minute you start talking, we all want to go after Planned Parenthood. That is the big goal out there. But the votes aren't there yet, right?
No.
So this is a tremendous step in the right direction, that we will not give money to any organizations that themselves are using that money to fund abortion overseas. Yeah, we want to get to Planned Parenthood, but you got to crawl, you got to walk, you got to run. Maybe the we're all just pleasantly, happily surprised at what the Trump administration has done. Maybe this will stiffen the spines of some wavering Republicans when that Planned Parenthood vote, it's got to come eventually, but this has got to be, I think, big good news and a big step in the right direction.
Absolutely.
And we posted this on One News Now?
It just came off hot off the press just before I came in the studio, but it will be posted.
On onenewsnow.com?
Correct.
Now, this is, as I just echo what Ray said and what you said. Great news. Promise kept, or continued to keep a promise.
Yes.
On the pro-life issue by President Trump and his team there. And Secretary of State Mike Pompeo himself, very committed to the pro-life issue.
Absolutely.
And I tell you, you know, there's got to be a new spring in President Trump's step today. You know, and those around him.
Yeah.
Because of this, and now this cloud is not hanging over their head. It is no longer hanging over their head. That is the cloud of the Mueller investigation, now that it's over and done. And the, you know, the, I guess the most significant, or at least if I were him and I were the people around him, and when I heard there were, quote, no more indictments coming, end of quote, then you know, that you feel like you can sleep better at night and focus on the things that you need to focus on more.
Yeah.
And that is keeping your campaign promises, being a good president, making good decisions, leading the country, protecting the country, all those things. And I'm not saying he couldn't do those things prior to this, but it's just like every day you get up and go, is this over yet? You know, who are they investigating now? What's your friend here, your friend there, somebody, you know. So all in all, I don't mean to jump ahead of ourselves, but all in all, when you consider how many subpoenas were issued, what, 2,800?
Oh, yeah.
500 witnesses or,
oh, yeah.
Or something like that. Maybe I've got the numbers reversed. But yeah, the numbers were crazy over a two-year period. And yet all that Special Counsel Mueller's office was able to conclude was you had just, what, three or four people who worked with President Trump over the years.
Like Michael Cohen, Manafort.
Right, who were guilty of things not associated with.
That's correct.
The colluding or conspiring charges.
Yeah.
But let me just get back to the point. The point is, thank you, President Trump, for standing up for life.
Absolutely, and he has not stopped on these other fronts. But can you imagine, like you were saying, getting up every morning, and every time he, you know, walks towards, what is it, Marine One, the helicopter out there in the front lawn. He goes over and talks to the reporters. Many times I thought, why do you do that? Because you know what they're going to be pestering you and hammering you on.
Right.
But that's all they were cared about. And, you know, there's a question this morning, okay, where is the Trump administration going to go from here? Is it a good idea just to put this behind you and not talk about it anymore? Or should there be an investigation into the people who started all of this? the Obama Administration Justice Department, the Obama Administration FBI, and all the people whose names we become very familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the things that South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, who's head of the Senate Judiciary Committee, he was talking about yesterday. He said, you know, there needs to be an investigation into the people who made the original accusations and started this whole mess. Brent, if we can go to cut number one.
What happens next is that I have been talking since 2017, the end of 2017, about the other side of the story. And nobody much appears to care, but I hope you will find some interest now, that the FISA warrant issued against Carter Page, based on a dossier prepared by Christopher Steele, is at a minimum disturbing. Whether or not it's illegal, I don't yet know. So I'm going to get answers to this.
Yeah, and what he's talking about is the dossier that was used to go to the FISA court by the FBI, led by James Comey, but they didn't tell the FISA court that this dossier had really had its roots in the Democratic Party and the Hillary Clinton campaign.
For those who don't know what a dossier is, it's not a dance. It's not a song. It's not an instrument even.
No.
It is a composite, a written composite of matters about a person.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Compiled, I guess for better or for worse, to reflect who that person is, what they've done, and so forth. So with the dossier you're talking about, it was designed to discredit, to harm, to damage, to impugn President and then candidate Donald Trump, right?
Correct.
Okay. Right. So when we keep talking about this dossier, it was even paid for by Hillary Clinton's campaign.
Yes.
Right? Okay. So you could tell what it was designed to do. It was designed to get dirt and other things, or worse, mud, if they could, on President Trump. Well, as it turns out, everyone I've seen who's read it says it's a work of fiction.
Yes.
It's full of lies and mischaracterizations. I don't know if they're mischaracterizations. They're just lies and made-up stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was not credible.
No.
So you got to remember, folks, that's what, when we refer to dossier, that's what we're talking about. So Hillary Clinton paid, correct me if I'm wrong here, paid for this dossier.
The Clinton campaign.
Clinton campaign paid for this dossier to be done. And you know, this isn't the first time that Republicans or Democrats try to dig up dirt on each other.
Mm-hmm.
They do this every day, all day, during political campaigns, especially on a national level. Sad to say, but that's the reality, especially on a presidential level. And sometimes Republicans dig up dirt on Republicans, and sometimes Democrats. So this is not new. However, what this was just a book, just a composite of just fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And Hillary Clinton paid for it. And then it was given to John McCain and others.
Mm-hmm.
The reason you want to know why Donald Trump was so angry, even what do you call it when people pass away? You know what I'm saying? After they're dead?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Is because John McCain gave this dossier to the FBI, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the FBI used this dossier to get spy warrants.
Yeah. Weaponized the Justice Department.
Yeah, okay. So I don't want to go into, all that again. But I just wanted people to understand, when we keep mentioning the word dossier, what we're talking about. We're not talking about, we're talking about something that was designed to go after President, then candidate Trump.
It was a political instrument that was turned over to the Obama Justice Department, and they took it and it went to the FISA court, but they didn't tell the FISA court that Hillary Clinton's campaign had paid for that dossier.
Right. I don't even know if the Clinton campaign ever used that stuff in a formal way.
Not in a
formal way. That's how discredited it was.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Lindsey Graham saying, you know, we need
Lindsey Graham.
I think James Comey, like to talk to him again. In fact, I think a lot of people would like to bring him back under oath and a bunch of others. I think it should go to the then Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, ought to be sworn in and give testimony. Right. And some people said it went the way.
Go, Lindsay, go.
President Obama.
What about it, Ray?
You know, one of the points you made needs to be emphasized, which is that the putting together of a dossier in and of itself is not unusual.
Right.
You said Republicans have been doing this about Democrats, Democrats about Republicans for decades. And in fact, when you have a heated primary, you could have people coming up with these dossiers. And, you know, the word compendium, that's a good word, Tim. And Fred, I mean, that just means you dump everything in there. So-and-so said so-and-so. You put rumors. You put
unsubstantiated. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. You put it all in there. You empty the kitchen sink. What makes this so dirty is that it was then used with the FISA court without revealing to them what the origin of it was. That really crosses the line legally, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And I really hope, and I know the American people, we all do, sometimes we get tired of the investigations, of the accusations, of the back and forth. We just want our government to work, right?
Yeah.
But with this situation, folks, this is not a conservative v. liberal view, I don't think. This was a grave injustice.
Yes.
Done to a grave, serious, historical injustice done to Donald Trump, the candidate, and then Donald Trump, the president. Whatever you may think of his personality or his politics or how he operates, whatever you may be think of that, you may not like some of the things that he does in that regard. Still, this has to be, in my opinion, dealt with, and I'm hoping William Barr, the Attorney General, will deal with it, because what was done here, as Ray just talked about, Fred just talked about, Sandy will be with us a little bit later, they tried to bring down this man.
Yes.
Yep.
And, they tried to bring, at the highest levels of our government, underneath the presidency, they tried to bring, from the get-go, they tried to bring down President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And on frivolous information, I want to know: did they really wire? Did they? Well, there's so much I want to know, but I hope William Barr, he's the one that the spotlight's on now, the Attorney General.
Yes.
I guess the president could instruct him, you do this. If I were, I would. But William Barr, hopefully, will come to this conclusion himself, and I think he will, based on what he told Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, when he was appearing before the Senate for his confirmation hearings.
I think he will, too. I think it has to be done. You know, President Trump made an interesting comment yesterday when he was asked about all of this. He said, this must never happen again to any U.S. president.
Right.
Must never happen again. And I thought that was a broad, solid statement with regards to—
Who said that?
President Trump said that.
Oh, yes.
Must never happen again to any president.
Right.
Republican or Democrat.
Right. No, I agree.
The weaponization of a Justice Department
against
a presidential candidate.
Right.
Can happen. But, of course, this was allowed to happen because the mainstream media was totally in bed with the Democrats, and still is, on this. And Donald Trump Jr. was on Fox last night talking about the role that the media played in this whole fiasco, cut number 4.
Of the tinfoil hat brigade, Adam Schiff out there every day talking about the evidence of collusion that he's seen. He's flagrantly lying to the American people. He's doing it every day on national television. When you're on that side and you have the media carrying your water for you, you can say whatever you want. When you're on our side, even when you're right, even when you're proven so, there's a level of culpability. There are repercussions for being a conservative that you don't face if you're on the other side.
He's exactly right. The mainstream media is totally in bed with the Democratic Party. That's the bottom line in all of this. And President Trump is exactly right. Every time he talks about fake news, that's what's going on out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got an article in the mail because I'm a member of the Radio Television News Directors Association. Got something in the mail yesterday, and the cover story, this was put out by one of the journalistic schools in the country. I think it's Columbia. But anyway, they're talking about, you know, the credibility of the media. And they are still blaming Donald Trump for them losing credibility. They're blaming Trump for that. They refuse to hold themselves accountable. And they even talk about, with pride in this article, that reporters ought to be out there displaying their bias. Well, no problem there. They certainly are these days. Mm-hmm. And that's why the American public is losing any kind of trust they have in the mainstream media in this country. Mm-hmm. That's what's going on.
It's hard to see how anybody could even trust the mainstream media at this point. Fred, look how they've reacted to the Mueller report. I mean, after all, if Mr. Mueller had been able to find the tiniest shred of collusion, he would have put it in the report, right?
Mm, that's right.
I mean, if there had been anything, he would have found it. It would have been in there. And yet, at the end of the day, he basically exonerates the president all the way across the board. Look at how the media has responded. No wonder their credibility is in the trash. Hey, they've done this to themselves.
He had a bunch of Democrat lawyers working with him, Mueller did.
Oh, yeah.
A bunch of Democrat lawyers.
Yeah. The deck was stacked against President Trump. Had he done anything wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, with all this time, energy, effort, money for 2 years, and yet.
Zip.
Nothing.
Zip.
Nothing. Move on.
All right.
Time to move on, Democrats, mainstream media. Well, I think they need a little time.
Well, maybe.
Search their hearts, Fred.
Grieving time?
Yes.
You're believing they have a heart.
Yeah. I know.
All right. Well, today may be another bad day for the Democrats. They're set to vote on whether they can override the president's veto. With regards, the president has vetoed the bill that was passed in both the House and, unfortunately, in the Senate, with the help of some Republicans in the Senate, trying to stop his executive order with regards to funding for the wall. Well, there's not going to be enough today, so there'll be a vote, and the Democrats will lose on that front. Related to that, what's happening in Washington today, there is a hearing of the House Armed Services Committee, and basically some Pentagon officials, including the acting defense secretary, Patrick Shanahan, is going to appear, and the Democrats are going to pepper these guys with questions about, because the president is moving money from the Pentagon budget to help pay for more of the building of the wall. And so they're going to pepper these Pentagon officials as to what projects are going to have to be given up in order to give the president that money. Well, they've gone through a list and they found some things that, well, you know, they can kind of wait until there's a later date. Let me give you some of the projects that are going to be canceled on the Pentagon budget. Hey, a parking garage at the U.S. Military Academy at West Point. Gee whiz, that's not going to be built for another year or so. Also, among the other projects, some upgrading of our facilities in Puerto Rico and Guam. And they're not going to get a military working dog kennel. There's money being moved from there so the president can build a wall. But expect the Democrats to try to make a big deal of this, that he's jeopardizing national security by moving, $1 billion maybe, from the Pentagon budget, which is over $700 billion, moving about $1 billion of that to build the wall.
That's more than I'm ever going to make in my lifetime right there. $7 billion, you said?
$700 billion is the actual Pentagon budget.
Well, both of them are $7 billion and $700 billion.
Yeah.
All right, let's invent something. You know, and I'm 56 now, so.
There you go.
It could happen.
Yeah.
I guess it could happen still, theoretically. All right, we shall return. More Sandy Rios will be with us in just a few minutes. A lot to talk about. We'll continue. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
Same-sex marriage is such a problem because if you invite children into that context of rebellion against God, you are systematically denying a child access to a mother or a father. no matter how you cut it.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
2018 was the busiest year ever for 8 Days of Hope.
Steve Tiber.
Over 6,000 volunteers descended to Southeast Houston over a three-week period during 8 Days of Hope 14, 15, and 16 and helped over 1,000 families rebuild their homes, all in the name of Jesus. Also, Hurricane Florence hit North Carolina. We had volunteers, leaders, and equipment in New Bern, Fayetteville, and Wilmington. And then, of course, Hurricane Michael striking the panhandle of Florida. We were in Panama City Beach for 5 weeks, loving and serving families who had nowhere to turn. 2019 could even be busier as we plan to go back to some of these same communities to be a glimpse of who Jesus is by using the gifts he's given us to bless those who are looking for a glimmer of hope. Go to 8daysofhope.com, submit your email address, and we'll notify you of our plans in 2019.
American Family Association is pleased to partner with 8 Days of Hope, and you can too. Learn more at 8daysofhope.com.
Be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
The friendly skies just got confusing. More next.
Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu.
United Airlines will now allow passengers to choose their own gender, announcing new non-binary gender options, Mr., Miss, and MX. Passengers will also be able to identify as male, female, undisclosed, or unspecified. United says they stand in solidarity with passengers, whether they identify along the binary of male or female or not. The airline recently partnered with Human Rights Campaign, a radical leftist group that routinely targets Christians. United's employees were forced to attend training classes on preferred pronouns, the persistence of gender norms, and LGBT competency in the workplace. How about a training class on not losing our luggage or taking off on time? I wonder how long it'll take before some wiseacre tries to fly free by identifying as a piece of carry-on luggage. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
All right, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of this program. We're here every Monday through... Slow down, Tim. We're here every Monday through Friday with a live talk show here, and we're bringing issues to the fore and discuss them. I'm Tim Wildman with Fred Jackson. Ed Tagliano is not here today, and Dr. Ray Pritchard. Ray is with us. So it's Tim, Ray, and Fred. I have some breaking news, and I don't know any more than what's been appearing on the news services. This Jussie Smollett. He's the actor on the television show Empire who allegedly, pretty conclusively, all the evidence, faked the hate crime in Chicago.
Says he was attacked by a couple of guys with MAGA hats on.
The whole thing turned out to be a hoax. And so he was charged with a bunch of crime.
Yep.
Or crimes. And
but
today he's walking out of court. According to this story, he's going to walk free.
He's not being prosecuted. Cook County prosecutors apparently announcing this morning, we're just getting this, folks, that they've dropped all the charges against him. Now, do you remember the news conference, the police, the news conference?
Yeah, the police are not going to be happy here.
You know, they talked to these two guys, found out that they were paid, and Smollett allegedly was out getting a Subway sandwich at, 2 in the morning, walking along the street.
Happens every day, Fred.
Yeah. And
2 in the morning in January.
And what the cops said, these guys were paid to rough up Smollett a little bit, and then he made the accusation it was pro-Trump people. Now, remember, he's part of this show, Empire, and he wasn't apparently doing too well in the show. He's an open homosexual, and I think played that role in the Empire. But the cops laid it out.
Well, I'll tell you what, here's what the attorneys for this, and the reason this is important, I think, is because we have these fake hate crimes going on all over the country, right? And so we need the people who make up stories and pull off hoaxes and then have police have to investigate and all this time, energy, and effort, and then it turns out to be they made it up. Also, they're trying to make Trump supporters look like bad people. That's the intent of it. And, you know, you got the people who don't like gays, and they're beating up this poor little gay man. Anyway, here's what his attorneys – so this needs to be exposed when it happens. Here's what his attorneys say. Today, all criminal charges against Jussie Smollett were dropped, and his record has been wiped clean of the filing of this tragic complaint against him. Jussie was attacked by two people he was unable to identify on January 29th. No, he did identify them as white people, didn't he? Yes, but he didn't say. Obviously, he didn't know it was Bill Johnson or Tom Will, Tom, whatever. Okay, he was a victim. I'm continuing to quote the attorneys for this man. He was a victim who was vilified and made to appear as a perpetrator as a result. So, I'm not going to go on with this. They're still claiming that this story did happen. Just like he said,
Yeah.
And the Cook County. Who would have had to drop these charges? The Cook County State's Attorney.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Now, as far as I know, they haven't spoken.
Well, I want to hear from the Chicago Police this morning, because remember they held that news conference and they took us through step by step by step.
Well,
what led to the charges?
According to the attorneys, again, it was a statement issued, not a Q&A yet, although they're supposed to appear before the media, I guess. They say their client, Jussie, and many others were hurt by these unfair and unwarranted actions. The entire situation is a reminder that there should never be an attempt to prove a case in the court of public opinion. That is wrong. It is a reminder that a victim, in this case, Jussie, deserves dignity and respect. Dismissal of charges against the victim in this case was the only just result, end of quote. So, I guess, unless the Chicago Police Department is just completely incompetent.
Corrupt or incompetent.
Unless they're in on the whole,
right.
They're in on the hoax themselves, this doesn't seem to make any sense.
Well, the only thing I can think of, and we're all just speculating here, but I mean, I suppose you've got the two guys were from Nigeria, right? I mean, if they recanted their testimony somehow behind the scenes, if the case, you could kind of understand it if the case fell apart. But when the Chicago police made that presentation, it didn't just sound strong, it sounded airtight. Like they had him, quote, dead to rights. So why would you then turn around and drop it unless the case itself somehow fell apart? You could even understand it if they said, well, we're going to change the charges to a lesser or something. But when you drop the charges completely, something has really happened behind the scenes.
Well, when you drop.
One of our Facebook commentators just said money talks. We don't know anything about that, but it is Chicago. That kind of stuff does sometimes happen. But, boy, we need more information here, because it sounded as if the police not only as if they were strong, but as if they thought they had an airtight case against him.
Well, also, and I will remember, I believe it was the police chief who was angry. He was very angry that day because of how this case he felt. And I'm paraphrasing here what the police chief had to say that morning, that it trivialized perhaps other cases, legitimate cases that would come forward with regards to charges of hate crimes, et cetera, et cetera. He was angry with Jussie Smollett for trying to pull off this charade of an attack, and that he worried the police chief.
How many counts were he indicted for?
Well, there was a bunch with regards to false statements to police.
Well, how many? But do you remember, like 16 or
six something? It was a big number.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, and then
it was like it's like the police threw the book at him.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and then you had the this doesn't even factor in the federal case that should be brought if he in fact sent a fake package to himself.
That's right.
A threatening fake package to himself through the U.S. mail. That's a whole different.
Yes.
Set of crimes to be accused of, but anyway, we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. This makes, well, I better be careful what I say. Dropping all the charges against this guy, if he walks out and doesn't have to pay a penalty, they're saying, his lawyers are saying his story is true.
Mm-hmm.
They're still going with it.
Yep.
The subway, 2 in the morning, huh?
Oh, man.
They're going with it.
That it was a real hate crime. Mm-hmm. Does anybody in America believe that?
No. Nobody. No. Nobody with half a brain. Nobody with half a brain. Anyway, we don't know any more than that, but he is a walking free. He's a free man. I guess he can go back on the show now as an innocent man.
Yeah.
Oh, he'll write a book. If this holds, there'll be a book. He'll be a star.
It's just like O.J. Simpson in a way. The O.J. Simpson, how many people really believe he didn't do that? Mm. But yet he walked, you know what I'm saying? He walked free. Good night. I can't believe this, but we'll see. The district attorney in Cook County is the one who dropped all the charges.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this fellow's wife, he's gay. This man's friends of his family tried to get Barack Obama's assistant to intervene. You remember reading about that in the case? Mm-hmm. So maybe it worked. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Sandy Rios joins us. Sandy's host of Sandy Rios in the Morning and Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association and appears with us most Tuesday mornings. Sandy, good morning.
Good morning, Tim. Would you like for me to tell you guys a few things you might not know about this case?
Go.
Go,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, did you say go or no?
I know. No, I said you go. Go ahead.
Okay, well, yeah, Jussie Smollett, his two sisters campaigned for Barack Obama. And it was Michelle Obama. There's a video of Michelle Obama dancing with Justin Smollett in a concert. And Mrs. Obama's chief of staff did intercede for Jussie. She tried to get the Chicago police to turn the case over to the FBI, but that was unsuccessful. It turns out that Jussie Smollett's family was very close friends with none other than Angela Davis. You guys know who Angela Davis was? I know Ray does.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Angela Davis, the radical from the 60s. So we're talking about a very radically leftist family that Jussie is from. It's not like Mr. Hollywood has no leftist roots. He's up to his ears in them, and connections to the Obama family. And, of course, Rahm Emanuel is a radical leftist. And now most of the people that serve in Illinois publicly, certainly in Cook County, are the same. And so, and then there's one other thing that ties into the headlines. I can't think of Michelle Obama's chief of staff's name. I can't remember her name in this moment. But she is the person who's been tasked to go down to Montgomery, Alabama, and sort out the problems at the SPLC to figure out what's happened and all these poor people are losing their jobs and why more seeds had to step down. She's the one that's supposed to do that now.
Okay.
So
what
I know.
What a web.
Well, but you know, I guess it's jaw-dropping to think all charges are dropped.
It is. It is. It's ridiculous, Tim. It's disheartening. And that kind of puts it at a different light when you see policemen being charged and tried and found guilty for some things in Cook County, too. You know,
yeah.
You just wonder where justice
will
is.
I'm assuming the Cook County's, what do you call it? Is it district attorney? It's not a...
State's attorney.
Will have to do a press conference themselves to explain why they dropped all the charges.
I would hope.
Yeah, well,
I hope the police chief isn't around.
Huh? Oh, the police are going to be beside themselves. The Chicago police are still solid. And so this is going to be a nightmare for all of them. I just don't know what they're going to do.
All right. Let's see. The Cook County, after reviewing, I'm reading from the something from the Cook County State's Attorney's Office. After reviewing all the facts and circumstances of the case, including Mr. Smollett's volunteer service in the community and agreement to forfeit his bond to the city of Chicago, we believe this outcome is a just disposition and appropriate resolution to the case. I'm sorry.
What?
Give us money. That's an appropriate resolution?
I'm reading that for the first time. Today, let's see. I don't know. It's one of those things where you just don't, I don't know what to say. A guy can get away with this and walk free. Maybe money does talk, or power, influence.
Yeah.
Well, Ray, we know that it does.
Ray, you and right. Sandy are from the Chicago area. I mean, does it totally shock you, or are you just shaking your head and saying,
let me go first.
Here we go, Sandy, again.
I mean, yeah, it's the Chicago way. Take the money and run, right?
But, yeah.
Brother. Well,
I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that he's a homosexual. Too, I think this, you know, I really do. It's just because we know, you know, the hate crimes that exist against LGBT community, and even though this didn't happen the way he said it did, this kind of crime goes on. This is the narrative that they project a lot, and so his case here serves a purpose of reminding us that LGBT people are attacked on a routine basis around the country. So, therefore, I think that probably factored into the Cook County, because they're pretty liberal up there, aren't they, Sandy?
Yes, they are now. Tim, I would say this, to put balance on Ray's disparagement in my hometown.
Yeah.
Now, Chicago has been corrupt for years, no question, but it's all, this is also true. Chicago was very much law and order not that long ago. Before, you know, Mayor Daley was, both Mayor Daley were real high on law and order, and the police were known for their, I realize that the narrative is that they were all corrupt, but that's really not true. My husband was a state attorney for Cook County, worked for Mayor Daley Jr. when he was the state's attorney in Cook County, and I mean, they were hardcore putting criminals in jail. That's why Chicago, during the times of Mayor Richard Daley, the crime rate was pretty low for a big city. Yeah, so it's, and so the Chicago police are, they're a really great bunch. I mean, there is, of course, among their ranks, there's probably some that are corrupt, but for the most part, they are not.
Let me ask you this too, Sandy and Ray and Fred, just to, what we're talking about, folks, is if you're just now joining us, it's kind of breaking news. Well, it is breaking news. The actor, Jussie Smollett, who nobody had ever heard of, except viewers of the show Empire on Fox. He's an actor, television actor. Anyway, he was the one who was, you know, said the two Make America Great men attacked him on his way home from Subway. Chicago at 2 a.m, had to go out for a sandwich in sub-freezing temperatures. And on the way home, there were two MAGA people waiting on him. You know, just happened to hit the right time at the right place to find him. And knew who he was. And didn't do much damage to the man.
They threw a noose at him
and some bleach.
Right.
But otherwise, didn't beat him up. And he got away. He kicked with one hand and ran on home to his apartment or the hotel, walked right by security, didn't report a crime, kept the noose around his neck and his Subway sandwich.
And the sandwich.
Yeah, went on in, I guess, you know, went ahead and ate, turned on the TV and called somebody, and then 30 minutes later called the cops and told him about this horrendous crime that had happened to him. And he's the person we're talking about. Well, the whole thing was a hoax, and he's been exonerated, I guess, or said not guilty by the, My question is, can the state's attorney, the Cook County state's attorney, Sandy, I guess they have the authority to negotiate. In other words, they have they can just say we dismiss all the charges, right? They don't have to answer to anybody on why they did.
That's right. They don't have to answer to anybody. Unless the Justice Department should call it out as corruption and go in and take over.
Sure, that's going to happen.
And clean the place up.
Imagine.
It has happened in the past.
I know. So then you'd have to have the Trump Justice Department going after a gay black man, right? That's a real winner right there. Anyway, all right. This is just nuts here. Now, I don't know if anything's going to, if the U.S. Postal Service or whoever charges you with sending a fake, threat to yourself, threaten your life, maybe he's not going to be charged with that either. I don't know. Amazing. All right. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. What was one question you wanted to ask Sandy?
Just, Sandy, a quick question for
she
you.
She doesn't agree to be on for like a whole hour or nothing. She has other things
well,
to do.
Well, we got a late start.
Yeah.
Got a late start. Sandy, some in the Trump administration, I'm thinking of Lindsey Graham yesterday, South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, said he'd like to talk to some of the people who basically started this whole thing that led to the Mueller report and find out and investigate how all of this got started, bring some people in, the principals in, as to all of this got started against. Some people are saying, no, let this go away. But I don't think the Democrats are going to let it go away. They're still pounding away at this. So do you think the new Attorney General, William Barr, will launch an investigation into how we got from point A to the Mueller investigation?
You know what? I'm actually beginning to think he might, Fred. I was really skeptical about Barr initially.
Okay, we're having Sandy's on a cell phone or something, and we've lost her, I think.
Sandy?
Okay, she's back.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead, Sandy.
No, we didn't hear anything you said for the last 30 seconds.
Okay. Well, I was just saying that I think he might. I think Barr is actually doing some really great things right now. Lindsey Graham is not the only person asking for justice. And could I just say, Fred, and all of you, this is the problem with conservatives and often with Christians. They quit too soon. They don't understand that even our God is a God of justice. Our God wants things to be right. I mean, often he shows mercy and grace, and but it's also true that he expects there to be justice. Like, we're supposed to discipline our children. If they misbehave, they should be disciplined. We don't go, oh, that's okay, and just look past it. Because we do have a lot of chaos in our culture because there's never any accountability. And so, and it gets worse. I probably said to all of you, I was in Cambodia visiting the killing fields and also the S-21 prison where the intellectuals were tortured and bound to their beds, and even you could still see the blood stains on the floor. And I remember talking to a Cambodian man who told me that the problem with Cambodia was that the Khmer Rouge did all of this violence to their fellow countrymen. That's the communist Cambodian. And there was never a Nuremberg trial. There was never anything. None of them were ever brought to justice. And now here they all are living next door to each other. And some, like the guy next door to you, might have killed your family. There was never any kind of justice done. And he said that it had the net effect of causing like a depression and a sullenness among the population in Cambodia because nothing was ever made right. We can't. It's a good thing for justice to be done. That's good. People should be punished. Proportionate with their crime. They should be punished for what they have done. And we cannot just let this go. So I hope that we embark. Maybe I should go talk to him, you think? But no, I'm kidding. But yeah. I really do think that's a very important principle.
Hey, Sandy, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Have a good
day.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Sandy Rios. You want Sandy on your team to go to battle, right?
Yeah. I tell you. And I agree with her. Justice needs to be done here. There was an injustice that led to the Mueller investigation.
Yep.
And the people behind it in the FBI and the Justice Department, including the former Attorney General Loretta Lynch, they all ought to be hauled in.
Absolutely.
And there ought to be hearings. There ought to be an investigation.
Yep.
And the media ought to be forced to cover it. But the media is in such – the media is in bed with the Democrats, right? Mm-hmm. So even if there is an investigation, the media is going to do all they can to stop it and play it down. What a mess.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Fred.
All right. We'll wrap up this hour. Hold on to your seats once again.
Okay.
We're holding. We have thousands of people at the AIPAC conference going on in Washington right now.
What is that?
That's the American Israel Public Affairs Committee. They are a pro-Israel group of Americans, and I think they number around 18,000. Well, they heard this morning one of the invited speakers was none other than Nancy Pelosi. And she spoke to the group this morning about, now hold your breath on this one, anti-Semitism. And she said it's a bipartisan issue. We stand against anti-Semitism. All of this, the backdrop to all of this is she's got a couple of people in her caucus, young Muslim women who were elected in the last election, who have been outright and vocal in their opposition to Israel and indeed anti-Semitic. So here's what Nancy Pelosi had to say this morning in her speech to AIPAC.
From Israel's founding through the present day, our pledge remains the same. Israel and America are connected now and forever. We will never allow anyone to make Israel a wedge issue. Assistance to Israel is vital, and it's not going anywhere, because if you care about American security, you must care about Israel's security. In our democratic societies, we should welcome legitimate debate on how best to honor our values and to advance our priorities without questioning loyalty or patriotism. I simply declare to be anti-Semitic is to be anti-American. It has no place in our country.
Well, you know what? I kind of coughed in disbelief because, of course, she made no mention of Congresswoman Omar from Minnesota, who is anti-Semitic, and did exactly what Nancy Pelosi said shouldn't be done. She questioned the patriotism of Americans who support Israel. That's exactly what Congresswoman Omar did. And Nancy Pelosi gets up there this morning and saying there's no place for this. Remember what Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats did a few weeks ago on that resolution. They didn't condemn Omar. They did a whole laundry list of things that we shouldn't do. Watered it all down.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah, but I think we've used up our quota of Nancy Pelosi. Uses of that word, those two words together.
Yes.
For the hour. Anyway, on a serious level, that is a major contention within the Democrat Party, I guess.
It certainly is.
But I think, quite frankly, that the anti-Semitic views are the majority of the Democrat Party. I don't think Nancy Pelosi represents the majority. By anti-Semitic, some would say they're not anti-Semitic, they're anti-Israel. They would distinguish between the two and would say, Tim, I don't appreciate your accusations there, but it's hard. The lines are blurred.
Yes, right. Very much so.
All right, and we know why so many people are anti-Israel. It's really because they just hate the Jews, right?
That's right.
Right.
All right, we shall return with more of today's issues on American Family Radio in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.